Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. And today we have a special guest, Dave Neely. Dave has been with us for the past few broadcasts, sharing some of his adventures as a missionary for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He was sent on his mission to Sacramento, California. Yesterday, we were talking about how he was with a prospective baptismal candidate in a local restaurant, and in walks Dick Baer. Dick Baer is a personal friend of ours here at Mormonism Research Ministry. I've known Dick for many, many years. He is a former Mormon, has a great love for the Mormon people, and during this particular time, when Dave was on his mission, Dick was very active in speaking at a number of Christian churches, sharing his testimony and sharing his reasons why he felt that Mormonism should not be considered a Christian faith. So you're talking to this person who is planning on being baptized, and Dick walks in. What was it that he said that probably rattled not only your baptismal candidate, but maybe even you? I mean, what did he say?
Well, he gave us, we started talking, of course, about grace. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, how do you feel about it? Do you believe that all you need to do is believe in Jesus and be forgiven? And he said, do you guys even know what the Mormon view is on that? And, you have to work for your salvation.
Sure.
You're forgiven after all you can do type, mm-hmm. And the Nephi scripture where it says in the Book of Mormon. Well, anyways, he said, well, what if I told you guys that every time it's a Mormon belief, and I'll give you guys the scripture to look up when you're home, when you guys go home, that it says that when you sin, all your former sins return to you. Mm-hmm. So if you're a thief and you steal again, everything you've done from the time you were 8 till now, you're held accountable for that.
Yeah, we should mention he's what Dick brought up to you was taken right out of section 82, verse 7 in the Doctrine and Covenants. I'll read it. It says, "And now verily I say unto you, I, the Lord, will not lay any sin to your charge. Go your ways and sin no more. But unto that soul who sinneth shall the former sins return, saith the Lord your God." I've used that passage with many Latter-day Saints, and that's a difficult passage to swallow, because all you have to do, Christian, in asking a Mormon about this is say, have you ever sinned the same sin twice? And let's face it, for a lot of the sins, especially when it comes to being proud and things like that, of course we've done a lot of those twice. I hope if you were a murderer in the past, you would never murder twice or steal twice. But still, like you say, if you did, those former sins pertinent to that sin would return. So he brings that up to you, and that kind of shakes you up.
Yeah, it does. I just want to throw out one of the things that kind of shook me up about that. We went home and we looked that up. Well, at this time, the Utah Jazz, you guys know I'm a big sports fan, were in the playoffs, and they were playing Houston. So all those former sins that I did with, going to Candlestick and going to the Jazz playing the Sacramento Kings, also I was just like, oh my gosh, this cannot be right, because, this is just too hard. If you ask me, if anything that really got that wall to start to crack, that was it right there.
So Dick was trying to show you that the God of the Bible, when he forgives completely. The God of Mormonism cannot be the same God as the God of the Bible, because the God of Mormonism must be remembering these past sins in order to bring them back
right up
and to hold you accountable for them. Amen. So we're not talking about the same deity. We end up going to a restaurant to meet with you. Eric invites me to come and meet you, and you talked yesterday about me driving up in my 94 Toyota pickup. Okay.
We need to get you a new truck, I think, Bill.
Yeah, I like my truck. I don't want to get rid of my truck. It's paid for.
So Dave sees that truck, and he feels better that you're not the rich person that he thought you were, making lots of money off of the ministry.
Well, just to let you know, Dave, I normally keep the Rolls Royce in the garage. I don't normally take it when on lunch appointments. Okay, I keep it garage.
He uses it for appearances. But so we sit down, and I could tell right away that you were starting to warm up to Bill.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There were some there was some indication that you still didn't have a whole lot of appreciation for Dick Baer. You haven't talked to him since the early 1990s, so it's been close to almost two decades. What happens?
Well, you were talking about that, and we could both sense that you still kind of had some hard feelings, which I thought was kind of odd because now you're not a Mormon anymore. But yet, obviously, what Dick did to, in your mind, probably was to steal your prospective convert, your credited convert there. You kind of sounded like you had a little bit of animosity. So as you're telling the story, I pull out my cell phone, and I have Dick on speed dial, so I push a button. Dick, because he answers the phone. I says, Dick, there's someone here that would like to talk to you. And I handed you the phone.
And you were, your face was like, oh my goodness, it's Dick Baer. Yeah.
So that was the first time that you had communicated since and I remember it was kind of enjoyable listening because you're explaining, do you know who I am? And he knew who you were.
Yeah. Did that surprise you?
Yeah. You know, when I said, I don't know if you remember me, you know, we met in a hometown buffet and then it jogged his memory. He goes, you're that big angry missionary with the big blue eyes, aren't you? I said, yeah. Well, amen, you're a convert now. That is awesome. He was just more excited about that. I think more of it, he just embarrassed us. He made us look really sorry in front of this guy. And that's what most of that was, is I think trying to squash that pride bug because... Mm. Yeah, he was dancing around us. He knew the Bible. He knew everything about us.
Well, you're Facebook friends with him now, right?
Yeah, he's a good guy. And there's a few times I went with him some tough questions about, you know, marriage and family and how he dealt with it because he'd been there, done that. He'd already been through Vietnam, and you're just entering this whole deal with all this. So, well, yeah, Dick, he's a good guy.
Well, Dick has a lot of family members that are still LDS, and it has been a struggle for him. But we want to talk about your conversion. What was it actually that led up to your finally distancing yourself from the Mormon Church and putting your faith in Jesus of the Bible?
Well, you know, I got to working with this guy at work who also was a good Christian. The last thing he said to me, and that's like the wall had already been cracking since the 82-7, so how do you feel that there's only going to be certain people, yada, 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 you have to do this and go through that? What about, like, if you believe that way, what about the thief on the cross? I don't remember what transpired. But
a Christian is challenging you at work.
Yeah, he's sharing his faith. At this time, see, explain the whole thing is he would chase me to certain points. I drove a truck that we'd build for a certain company, like Wheeler or Komatsu, and I'd deliver it, and then he'd bring me back. Sometimes it was like in Reno. At that particular time, it was in Reno, so we were stuck with each other, whether I liked it or not, for this long drive. He gave me the film DNA versus the Book of Mormon. And so, I mean, but this is over a lengthy period of time, so we knew each other.
Well, then you ended up asking a question of Joel Kramer, who produced that film.
Yeah.
Well, how did you...
Joel used to live in Brigham City.
Right.
And he's now living in Jerusalem.
And so, how did you meet up with him?
You know, I remember at the end of after watching this movie that he bought for me.
The person that you're driving in the truck coming
from
Reno. Yeah,
he gave it to me as a gift. That also rocked me. Because I never thought of that angle, but, you know, this guy also let me watch a movie called Windtalkers, Codetalkers, mm-hmm. with
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage, thank you. And that raised the question, that don't you realize how much the Japanese or Chinese look like the Native Americans? And I was like, that is a pretty good point. I never really thought of that angle, never even fathomed it. And so at the end of this, there was a number that he threw out there, and I called, I got a hold of a lady. And then he called me actually at home when I got home from work. And
this is Joel.
Joel, yes, Mr. Kramer. And then he said, you know, I'm up here in Brigham City. You're in Sandy. Why don't we, like, meet halfway so you don't have to drive all the way up here to Brigham City? And so Ogden was kind of the halfway point. At that time, you know, I had a route where I knew Ogden really well. I didn't know Brigham City too well. Or we decided to meet at this restaurant that was kind of by... where they work on the plow trucks and all that, which was really good. And we just talked.
And he answered a lot of your questions.
He answered a lot of them. And that's kind of where it all began to crack. And I still wasn't sold quite yet on the regeneration, born again. That discussion got me reading the Bible with an open mind, like he said, and an open heart, really tearing it apart.
You like to wear a cross around your neck. You're a big guy who wears this cross. Why do you wear that cross?
That's just to let family members know that where I stand, the argument's closed, and, you know, I'm not going back.
So if a missionary came to your house and said, Dave, what would it take for you to come back to the Capital C Church? What would your answer be on that?
Nothing. I'll never be back.
You'll never leave what you have now.
My answer would be, nothing's worth your soul. Hmm.
Is that one thing that you really find is one of the greatest benefits of being a Christian, is you know that the debt has been fully paid?
Yeah.
There's nothing more that needs to be added to what Jesus did on the cross. And really, that's one of our biggest complaints about Mormonism, is because when it all comes down to the bottom line, really what Jesus did was not enough. It only paved part of the road. The rest has to be paved by you. And as James Faust said, he was a member of the First Presidency, he says, you know, you have to pay the rest of the debt. Jesus paid some of it. You have to pay the rest of it. And I think that's something that we as Bible-believing Christians just cringe when we hear that, because it raises the question, well, if there's more that needs to be done, how much more needs to be done? And am I doing it? And you, no doubt, were one of those Latter-day Saints who always had that doubt. Have I done enough?
Yeah.
And you find in the completed work of Christ that this has been done. Amen. And you can rest in that fact.
It's fun for me to watch you grow. We're part of a Bible study together, and this guy, Bill, is thirsty for knowledge. He reads regularly, and if I name some of the names of the old-timers that he reads, you would be impressed that this guy is going deep into this, because you've told me before that you are making up for lost time. But I appreciate your desire to want to know God in a more intimate way, and you're an encouragement to me. And I think this past week, hopefully, has been an encouragement for the people who've been listening.
Oh, I hope so, because folks, if nothing else, you never know what you can say to one of these young men coming to your door that is going to stick with them. You never know. And I think it's a shame that so many Christians do not take that opportunity when God providentially brings a Mormon to your door and you don't answer that door. Shame on you. You should invite them in. And Dave, I just want to thank you for taking the time to be with us this past week. And I hope that your testimony will be an encouragement to others.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hi, this is Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, heard on this station weekdays at 4. I'd like to tell you all about a special event that's coming up with Bill McKeever this May. The Utah Partners for Christ are holding a special dinner to highlight the work of their ministry and to equip believers. That's on Friday, May 17th. It's being held at Mill Creek Baptist Church, and includes a wonderful dinner before a great time of fellowship and ministry. For tickets or information, you can go to upfc.org and see how you can join in for this great event. That's upfc.org for the Utah Partners for Christ and for Bill McKeever of Viewpoint on Mormonism. You can also call 801-645-7433. Join them this May and win Mormons for Jesus Christ.